Hello, Podzilla fans. Shannon Young here, and I wanted to thank you for listening to another episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted with myself, Hunter, and Zach. And the reason you're hearing me talk and not Hunter's always fantastic intro is no secret that we record our episodes early. We usually record them on Thursday or Friday and post them on Saturday. And for the second time this year, something tragic has happened in between when we recorded our show and when we were going to post it. For those of you who have been following the news today, you know that Roddy Piper, the Hot Rod himself, passed away on Friday at age 61. Of course, this is a horrible, tragic loss for the wrestling world and for a lot of us personally, because Roddy Piper was a hero. He was a wrestling legend, and he was one of the greats. We will be doing a full-fledged tribute to him on next week's show, but I wanted to put something at the beginning of this one, since we did record this before he passed away, and I just wanted you to know that he is definitely in our minds, in our hearts, and we have not ignored the tragic news that came out of the wrestling world today. So, from myself, Hunter, Zach, and everyone at the Podzilla 1985 Network, God bless you, Roddy Piper, and you will always be in our hearts.
From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, the following Podzilla 1985 podcast is scheduled for one fall. I'm Hunter Hendricks, he's Zach Price, and your host Shannon Young. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
And we've been talking a lot about wrestling lately.
Man, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
So Hulk Hogan.
No.
I don't want to talk about that. I got really uncomfortable at that actual show.
Wait, which, the one you were on or the one you listened to?
The one I was on.
I should know better because you don't listen to
I regret it ever going to that show, by the way.
What, the Hogan
I got
show?
Home.
I feel like we need to have a recap show for the show.
About. Yeah. I got home and said, I'm never doing a controversial story podcast ever again. I'm not doing it.
It got a little heated, you know.
Man, I literally
it was a little rough. Get off your phone!
Well, I have to look up wrestling news.
Damn it.
I have no wrestling news.
I just wanted to do that really badly.
Okay, so I was also looking up wrestling news, and as I'm looking up wrestling news, all of a sudden a message pops up that says, you have a virus on your Android.
Uh-oh.
Click OK for $1 or something.
I get that every day, if you know
what I mean. To have a virus?
I don't understand virus. I don't understand viruses on phone, but anyway.
I get that weird whenever I go to a certain website.
That's a weird situation.
We know those websites. Zach, thank you for being on the show on Friday and enduring what was a... Was it Friday when I yelled at Louie?
Oh, I thought you meant today. I think we both thought you meant today.
Oh, no.
That's I looked at Hunter for reassurance on what's going on.
Yes, it was Friday. It was last Friday.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what happens when you step into the big boy ring.
I don't think it was the big well, kind of, yeah.
It got out of hand.
It gets out of hand. Shannon gets a little heated
Brick
when he gets
killed a guy.
Passionate.
It was weird.
Yeah, but we're not going to talk about Hulk Hogan anymore.
No.
I think we've said everything we want to say about Hulk Hogan. Short of, you know, it comes out that him and Cosby had a thing going, you know, together.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anything left to say about him. So let's move on to other things.
Let's.
Because there is other news in wrestling.
I got some things. You guys can keep looking. I was just...
Well, I just got an update for once.
Well, I've got something I want to talk about.
Okay.
Something that actually made me a little sad. Layla has retired.
That's true. Talked about it this morning on the show, yeah.
And I don't like that. Because I always liked Layla.
Yeah. When was the last time?
She hasn't been on in a while.
She's like Zack Ryder of the Divas Division.
Well, she won the Divas Search back in 2006.
Yes.
That was her first entrance into the company. She was on SummerSlam that year. That was her first appearance.
And might I add, I still remember the first appearance.
Do you really? Because I don't.
She was in the back when the other girls like confronted her, like they were going to beat her up for winning. And then they pulled her into the shower, lifted her skirt. She was wearing a thong, and they all took turns spanking her. That was her introduction to the WWE world.
Are you kidding me?
Not kidding. I still remember that because she's very attractive and it was very nice song.
I thought that she came in like a little after that, but I guess not. I guess that was right around the time frame that the Divas division was more about the diva than it was
the wrestling.
Than the wrestling.
Yeah, I think Ashley Mazzara was back there. I don't know why she was in a women's locker room being transgender. That's the joke. That's the joke that I've always heard. I don't believe it myself.
They have to allow her. They have to do that.
But she was in Les Cool, which was one of the...
That was the cool.
That was, yeah, that was one of the best...
They broke the title in half.
Yeah. That was awesome. a great team.
Yeah, that was a blast. That was Michelle McCool. Time. And then, I mean, pretty much from the time Michelle McCool retired, Layla just kind of faded into the background.
She just did random things. I think she was with... She was with Fandango for a little while. And she was with Fandango.
Yeah.
They kind of just bounced her around like, you know, cigarettes in prison.
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
Well, she was wasted toward the end there. And honestly, the new, not drunk, but like wasted.
Yeah,
she was wasted constantly.
She was fucked up 24/7.
But, you know, we do sort of have the new, oh God, we're going to talk about it later, but the Divas Revolution. And obviously, there's no room for any of the old guard there. You got to jettison all the old crap out of the way.
Well, she's creeping up on 40. She's 38,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
Which, one, should not matter.
No, it doesn't matter at all.
Because, what, she still looks fantastic, obviously. She's only 38.
She does look 40, that's for damn sure.
Yeah. She doesn't get in the ring enough to make herself look like 40.
Mm.
Well, and
that's true too.
How many male wrestlers do you have in there that are over 40 or pushing 40?
Hogan's pretty old.
Triple H just turned 45 on Monday.
Yeah, Hogan is 61.
He just turned what?
Triple H just turned 45.
45 on
Dolph Ziggler's 35.
Is Triple H really 45?
Yeah, his birthday was
45
years
old. I thought he was in his 50s now.
Turned 45 earlier this week, I think.
Kane
or last week?
Triple H?
Yeah.
It was Monday night.
That's what I knew. It was pretty close.
Undertaker and Kane are both around in the 50s.
They're up there.
Yeah. There was no reason to really push her out, but they haven't done anything with her.
No.
Like you said, with the Diva Revolution.
Well, and let's be clear, too. She wasn't pushed out or anything. She retired of her own volition.
That's her story.
That's the story. Yeah. Yes, of course.
Just like Hogan. Just like Hogan resigned.
Yeah, his contract was terminated.
Yeah.
On mutual terms.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think it was. Mm. But anyway, yeah, it is kind of a sad loss for the Divas division. And hopefully, you know, she didn't really announce what she was planning to do after the fact. Hopefully maybe they can bring her in down the line and she can either do, not necessarily commentary. I don't remember her being a great speaker or anything, but interviews or, you know, depending on what she'll want to do.
She should be the one on Tough Enough instead of Paige.
There you go.
You know?
For
one,
sure.
One, she has more experience than Paige.
Yeah,
she
probably.
Yeah. And in why spread Paige so thin? Like, Paige is on Total Divas, she's on wrestling, and she's doing Tough Enough. Give her a break. My God, the poor girl's going to burn herself out.
But they don't want to. But that's the thing.
Did Layla ever wrestle in, like, the UK, though?
She's from England.
I know she's from England, but she gets, like, because Paige started, like, when she's, like, 15
well, I was
going to
say, yeah, family's you're getting that's why I hesitated for a minute, because, of course, Paige has a wrestling, comes from a wrestling family.
Yeah.
So there may
so
be.
Probably around even.
Yeah,
really.
Pretty close.
Paige is
but,
probably
like
more
said, Paige
international.
Is pretty spread thin at this point. I mean, she's kind of all over the place.
And Layla,
so.
Well, she used to be a Miami Heat's
cheerleader.
Miami cheerleader.
Heats.
Yeah.
And down there at the Heat.
I mean, she added so much diversity and just a different look to the WWE Divas. Because if you look at them now, it's getting back. I mean, it's very diverse right now.
Right.
I think she would fit in. But,
well, there's one whole angle where the whole point is that two girls look awfully a lot alike with Summer and Lana. I mean, granted, they've made it to be the case that way. They've made Summer look like Lana, but that's sort of part of the gimmick.
That was the
I mean,
best segment of Monday Night Raw, by the way.
The fish with the head. Oh,
I liked when
let's get to it later.
Okay.
So just a quick question. Who would you rather? Lana or Summer?
Lana.
Not playing this game.
I don't like Summer. Summer looks ugly.
With a disclaimer that Hunter is a happily married man.
I can't tell the difference between her nose and John Cena's right now.
You're talking about Summer?
Almost lost.
Woo.
Breaking news, by the way, John Cena visited himself in the hospital. Zach just really wanted me to do that.
He was hoping you would do that. He mentioned that on the car ride over here.
I said we should have, like, a breaking news, like, alert sound, and then Hunter should read it in, like, the most serious tone ever.
It's not the same without the picture.
But, A, I can't take credit for it because Matt Sissom, who was with us at Battleground, sent it to me first. I didn't discover it. And, B, it was the Onions joke, not mine. They did. But it's a great mocked-up picture of course, John Cena broke his nose on Raw, and it's Cena visiting Cena in the hospital saying, hey, keep fighting, champ.
I just got an update on the way over here saying he had emergency surgery.
Ooh, that's not good.
So I don't know if that was like just today, like just now, or
I'm not aware.
But me and Shannon decided on the way over here. His nose is probably already doing deadlifts.
Oh yeah,
and
of course.
His nose has already buried a couple new talents.
His nose is going to win the Royal Rumble this year, and no one's going to know it's coming back.
Yeah.
So hey, speaking of Tough Enough, we got away from Tough Enough, and I was trying to get back to it there.
Why?
Because we have to, and because we can get Hogan out of the way completely. I think after this, because of course they had to replace him on Tough Enough.
Yes, and we said, who you got? Flair,
Bret Hart, Arn Anderson.
Fucking Iron Sheik.
Roddy Piper.
But of course, they went with the true choice and really the only choice of new generation, The Miz.
Of a new generation.
Which I love The Miz. Stuff.
I love The Miz too. He's great on the microphone.
Well, okay, two reasons I have to
assume. The Miz is no Hulk Hogan.
No. But two reasons I have to assume that they chose Miz. Number one, obviously, he's great as a speaking talent. I mean, yes. He's a guy you want behind a mic.
He's an ambassador.
If anywhere, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And B, he had already been part of the show to a degree. He was hosting the after show, Tough Talk or Talking Tough or whatever it's called. So he was already familiar with the contestants. I think that's the big problem they're running into. They don't want to bring somebody in and force them to sit down and watch the past, you know, however many weeks of the show.
Because how long can Flair go watching these tapes before he needs a drink?
Before he starts crying.
And plus, with the whole situation on the IC title,
yeah,
they had a, you know, because Ryback's injured, and you know, they
got to do something.
Yeah, got to do something with the guy.
Keep him busy. Yeah. So, and that, to be fair, they also rumored, or well, they didn't rumor, but Chris Jericho kind of hinted at the idea that that may be a rotating seat. Which I'll be honest with you, I don't like. I don't like the idea of a judge being a rotating seat. If there were more than three judges, that would be okay.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of reality shows, Ink Master, The Tattoo Show, and all that sort of stuff, they'll have three regular judges, and then you might have like a surprise celebrity extra, you know, judge or whatever for
Project
a week.
Runway does the same thing. Oh, don't ask me. Shut up.
Ink Master, you were like, I don't know about that. But I'll tell you about these models, my friend.
I don't watch fucking Project Runway.
I do.
Yeah. My wife watches all the time.
Okay, then you're in the same boat as me.
Oh, yeah. That's how I end up watching Ink Master. My wife, I'm going to come home one day, she's going to have a full sleeve of tattoos, I swear. She is this close to getting them. It's going to happen, and then I'm going to be next.
Well, I know so. Dave Mahoney has traded things in for tattoos. He could probably hook you up.
Got a Rick.
So,
Dave Mahoney calls me yesterday, God damn. And he says, hey, you talked to Lonnie.
Why do you do that? I'm going to do something else.
And I was like, no, why? He's like, I need $1,000.
What?
I don't know.
What the hell?
Maybe
does
he's
that
finally,
work?
He's finally
does
getting those diamonds reinstalled on the old wrestling belt. I don't know.
So Mahoney. No, anyway, as far as the tough enough thing goes, I don't know about you guys. I don't like the idea of a rotating seat.
I don't
if
either.
You're going to bring in The Miz, just have it be The Miz and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, Jericho was even a rumored guy to do it. That would have been okay. Move Miz into the hosting slot and have Jericho on the panel.
What about Shawn Michaels?
Shawn Michaels. He's doing a movie. Process. He's getting ready to do a new movie with them.
Please stop doing movies.
I know.
WWE. I saw the trailer for Dean Ambrose's 12 Marines lockdown. What is it called? 12 rounds.
You know, is it really? I can't remember. 12
rounds,
what it was.
12 rounds, 3 lockdown.
So 24 rounds.
If,
36.
Oh, that's even better. That's even better. That's great.
The whole trailer,
I've
he's going.
I've so lost now. Oh, no, that's not what I was going to say. Instead of Dean Ambrose's new movie, what they should do is just remake The Terminator, just like the trailer that they did for 2K16, but just remake it with WWE wrestlers.
Well, now
just
that
remake
you,
the whole movie.
Now that you mention that, let's move on to that for a second. Well, are we done with Tough Enough yet?
Yeah, that's...
let's go back to it for a second.
No,
I don't get to watch Tough Enough.
There's nothing happening. I don't watch Tough Enough. Even
I don't have cable.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I just don't care about it. I don't like reality shows in general.
Yeah.
The only reality show I like is wrestling, and it's moving
because it's
far
still real
away
to
from
you,
reality.
Damn it!
So Tough Enough, whatever. The Miz, congratulations. I like Johnny Cage. He's my favorite character. Speaking of video games, though, yes. WWE 2K16, they took Hogan out. This will be the last time we talk about fucking Hulk Hogan.
No, it's not. No, every story is
related to Hulk Hogan. So they take Hogan out, which, even though I don't think it's that... We talked about it on the show. You don't have to scrub Hulk Hogan from everything, but whatever. Hogan's gone for whatever. It's fine.
Right.
They released the trailer this week that you can pre-order the game and play as the Terminator.
Yes.
Now, we're not talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. And not just the Terminator.
Two Terminators. You get the T-800 and the T-800.
Yeah.
But one's 80s T-800 and the other's early 90s T-800.
Right. The first one is better.
I
started to say, that's probably an argument for another time.
Whoa. Are you saying the first movie's better?
Yes.
Than Terminator 2?
I am absolutely saying, as a movie overall, the original Terminator is a better movie than Terminator 2.
I don't know if I can back you on that one.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. I'm not going to get into a full-blown debate about this here. That's for another show that we need to still do at some point in time.
Do the movie show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but I have many, many thoughts
about
that.
But we can agree that Terminator Salvation is the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even seen the fifth movie, and I can agree with you that Terminator is the worst.
Yeah.
There's
Terminator.
Fuck, I ain't watching none of them, man.
Terminator.
I'm not going to go that fucking far.
Judgment Day, Rise of the Machine, Salvation, Genesis.
My favorite thing that Conan O'Brien ever did was when they would do the fake lips for Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Rise of the Machines. He did this horrible accent, but it was hilarious, and I would just go around yelling that from time to time.
Did you ever see when Arnold actually went on his show? And they did a Conan face with the lips.
And
Arnold was doing a Conan impersonation.
Conan instead.
That was pretty good, too. Anyway.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, Terminator in WWE 16. I am baffled by this. Now, I get why they're doing it.
Right.
Because Arnold and the WWE have a relationship.
Yeah.
They did the admittedly cool but completely nonsensical Terminator intro for Triple H at WrestleMania. It was cool. Made no sense. But it was cool. But why the Terminator?
Yeah.
Why not just Arnold Schwarzenegger? Is he alone not a draw?
Well,
I want to beat up a robot.
This is weird, but I was going to say, put yourself in Arnold Schwarzenegger's shoes for just a second, especially as a media figure. I mean, he's not a political figure anymore, but as a media figure, you're offered the opportunity to be a part of this game. Would you really want, if they said, okay, new downloadable content for WWE 2K16, you can play as Shannon Young,
yay,
and people can just beat the shit out of you?
What?
See, that's the thing. If he's
do.
The Terminator and they beat up the Terminator, who cares? The Terminator's a character, even if it's so synonymous with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Is this like when The Rock fought the Hurricane and the Hurricane won and The Rock told him, you didn't beat The Rock.
Right,
you
exactly.
beat Scorpion King.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same idea in a very, very loose way. But Yes. Yeah.
Well, it makes no sense from a video game standpoint either.
No.
Like, oh, how do you fight the Terminator?
I assume you don't.
I want to rip.
I assume he pulls out a shotgun and blows you away as soon as you enter.
Even if you take the weapons away from him, one, he better wrestle either naked. Like someone
well,
said,
that's how the trailer goes.
Yeah. Well, someone said, how awesome would it be if when he does his entrance, it's him like on the ramp, the lightning comes, and he just teleports.
Oh,
he
time that travels. Would actually be pretty cool.
But then his dick's swinging, and you can't have that in a WWE game.
No, it's not cool anymore.
I feel very lost right now. Not gonna lie.
Very awkward.
But just as a wrestling standpoint, like it. It's one thing to have guest characters, but come on, the Terminator, he's a cyborg. He's living tissue over a metal exoskeleton.
Right.
You can't pick him up.
No.
You can't hit him. You can't do a goddamn AA on him.
I bet the Big Show can. But I bet John Cena can.
I bet he taps to the STF.
I bet he does.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If nothing else, I'm excited about the fact that the GIFs that are going to come out of this are just going to be a blast. Are you kidding me?
Plus, I really want to play as the Terminator.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Of course.
I want to
beat up the Terminator. I assume you can edit his entrance. So I really want to see him do like the Divas or the Bellas entrance.
Or John Cena, have him come out and throw the hat, you know.
With the towel and everything.
Yeah, Fandango, something like that, you know.
Yeah, well, it's Fred Durst all over again. He was in the old, which Give SmackDown it? Was it? One of the SmackDown
like
games.
Like two or something.
Yeah,
like
it was
that,
pretty
yeah.
far back there. Yeah, Fred Durst, you could play as him.
I want to see it do the Fred or the Miss Man walk.
Arnold?
No.
Arnold. The Terminator?
Swinging the arms?
Well, I'm excited about it. I still want to play it, even though it's terrible.
It's pretty nonsensical. And I still wonder, honestly, I'm pretty sure they had that planned before this whole Hogan thing. Because I think they even announced it before that, didn't they?
Well, I mean, they've been working with Arnold for so long since the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. Yeah,
I don't think it's a replacement so much really look at this. Pay attention to this right now.
Yeah, I don't think this was going to be the Hulk Hogan edition, because they did that last year. Zach and I both have.
I threw the box away yesterday, too.
It really?
Yeah, it had Hogan on it.
And yeah, well, he still has Hogan memorabilia in his house, though.
It just, so.
I just
need
the box.
Cut it down to an acceptable amount. Is that the deal?
Well, she's like, what are you going to do with this box? I'm going to throw it away. She's like, why? I was like, you have to put it all in one. I was like, I don't have the game anymore. I got the PS4 edition now. The box is useless.
Oh, I kept the box anyway. It's a nice little stand for my Hogan figures. Speaking of Terminators and Invincible Men.
Yes.
Kurt Angle says he's going to be back by September.
He does.
Yeah.
I think I saw that right before I got through here. And this is from the neck surgery, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the benign tumor.
You mean like back in WWE or just back in wrestling?
No.
Because you got my hopes up really high, and I was like, all right.
Kurt Angle will never be back in WWE.
Kurt Angle thinks he'll be back in WWE. I also found out from that interview that his favorite Mexican food is, what do you say, burritos or something? I don't know. I guess
how
I
original.
Didn't find it out that well.
And his favorite sex.
He likes lots of beef.
His favorite position is anal.
Did he say that, really?
Well, he said that on Howard Stern show years ago.
I don't think that's a position, is it?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a position.
You don't have
it's a position Lindsay won't take.
Oh, no. Well, there it is.
There it is.
Not really.
Oh, so Sting.
So Kurt Angle's. Well, yeah, it stings, I bet.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
Hey, Sting's going to be at SummerSlam.
All right.
Yes, he is.
So one way or the other.
So
the motherfucker's going to be there.
Actually, well, here's the thing. According to pretty much everybody else, no, he's not. They don't have anything for him to do.
Well, I know he's at least going to be signing. He's going to be at the event.
Yeah, he's going to be doing that.
At the Access
thing.
But
on the show, it appears to be pretty unlikely. Rumor was for the longest time that he was going to be there before Battleground. Oh, he might show up there. And that he was going to team with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose to go up against the Wyatt family. Basically,
cool.
Shield and Wyatt family again. But apparently, it looks like that's not going to work so well. So, Sting
would work well for that. All black.
Well, you'd think, but evidently they don't want to waste his...
Oh, no, you just said it right there.
Appearances.
They don't want to waste his appearance. So let's have him lose to Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Fucking Triple H. Motherfucker.
That's a whole other thing.
Hey, so I'm looking at 4-1 Mania right now. Did you guys see this article that said that apparently Brock Lesnar was originally supposed to be booked as a gay character?
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up here in just a couple minutes. There's a whole diatribe about that. So the whole thing, I guess you're reading through it right now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so the deal is, I'll try to throw it out while you're checking through it and getting the deal. Brian Solomon, who was a former WWE writer, especially in their magazines, he worked with them, said back around 2002, he pitched the idea directly to Stephanie McMahon to have a character who was a kick-ass main eventer. That was his direct quote. But for it to later be discovered that the guy also happened to be gay. Had nothing to do with the character. They just thought it would be a nice little wrinkle to it, and then it would actually endear them to the gay community, to the LGBT groups, and a lot of other progressive-type groups, that they would have a great progressive character. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
So he pitched the idea, never heard anything else about it, because he wanted it to be Brock Lesnar. Lesnar hadn't come in at this time. They did get that idea to the writer's room, though this guy himself never heard anything about it until well after the fact. But in the writer's room, they say it was shot down by the older agents who thought it was a bad idea, but it eventually led to Billy and Chuck.
Which,
yeah,
quite didn't...
Brock Lesnar is more the screen for that character.
I'm just thinking Billy and Chuck really did not come across to me as kick-ass main event characters.
No.
Just exploited completely.
They weren't main event in any way, and they hardly kicked any ass. Are you kidding me? I mean...
The best they had was the little segments where the people would walk in and they would be working out together and in sexually provocative positions.
Yeah.
I could see that would have worked for Lesnar, though. That would have worked.
It would have. Now, I do question...
Zach's shaking his head no. He's.
I don't think...
Well, it's because you know the Lesnar
I don't think
now.
Lesnar... Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, true. Yeah. But let's say you bring Lesnar in at that point in time. Remember, Lesnar hardly even talked for the first, 6 months he was there. Heyman did all the talking for him. So it would have to have been
something.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah. It would have had to have been something that would have been able to be carried off very subtly, because you can't smack people in the face with this, or it's not going to play out the way that this guy was pitching
it. Yeah, no. If he was smacking Lesnar, people in the face with it.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Lesnar, if so nothing, is the exact opposite of subtle.
To you.
He's not subtle. There's no subulty to Brock Lesnar at all. In that respect, I don't think it could have been carried off very well. I also don't know, and this is just me maybe projecting onto Lesnar, but I don't think he would have gone for it.
No, I don't think
that's
he would have.
That's
the big thing,
if I shook my head no, I don't think he would have gone.
Well, the Lesnar now wouldn't have gone for it.
Well, absolutely
But Lesnar back then, I mean, just starting out, he wasn't established.
Yeah,
he really
maybe.
Didn't have anything. Maybe. And you could have had him just do something like have a diva come on to him and him say he's not interested, or, you know, you're not my type, you know, something
right.
like that. But that would have been a great character. I mean, they could do the same thing with Darren Young. He literally is gay.
Yeah.
And they have not made his character gay. And I think Stephanie McMahon mentioned that in an interview a week ago or so, when they asked, when are you going to make Darren Young's character gay?
Yeah.
And she said it hasn't come up yet, but it might eventually, because we want to push the boundaries and you know, whatnot. I fear for Darren Young when do...
Like they're going to make him over the top.
Yeah, they're going to make him a sissy. You know, they're going to make him like Orlando Jordan TNA.
I said that about Brock Lesnar not being subtle. WWE is even less so, just in general anyway.
Yeah.
They don't handle subtlety very well.
No.
So
Vince McMahon has that thought process that it's black and white. It has to be in your face, or else people won't get it.
Hulk Hogan, on the other hand, has no. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to do that.
Do you guys watch ROH at all?
I've once or twice.
They already have a wrestler there. He's really good. I forget his name now. Where he is gay. They don't really say he's gay, but he's very
flamboyant.
Like he comes out with these two guys dressed up.
Oh, you're talking about yeah.
Why do you think of the name in the skirt? And they fan him and like. He'll snap his fingers, and they, like, make a seat for him to lay on. He's like, I like the boys and stuff like that.
He's the one that he lifts his cape up.
He's awesome.
Something Castle. I forget his first name.
I will look it up tonight, and I will message you. But
I sent Louis this guy. I was like, you got to see this guy. His entrance is amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of the best. Yeah, he comes out with, like, two, kind of like the two pretty boys. They're barely dressed.
Like
they have the
great
fans.
Yeah.
And his gimmick is, like, he's a peacock. Okay. That's what the gimmick is, apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I mean, he's great.
Yeah, let's not act like, you know, this kind of stuff hasn't been a part of wrestling for years. No, I mean, let's flamboyancy.
Adrian Adonis.
Yeah.
Adorable Adrian Adonis.
Who was
Rico.
I thinking of? Yeah, Rico. There was another older wrestler, too, and I cannot think of the name now.
Pat Patterson.
Nope. he was never out
Freddie Blassie
or whatever. No, I'm thinking beautiful. Not Bobby Eaton. Nobody knows who Bobby Eaton is anymore. I cannot think of the guy's name. But in any case, Adrian Adonis is kind of the other character I was thinking of, too. Yeah. Same idea. Flamboyance. Hell, even Ric Flair, who was decidedly the precise opposite of, if there's anything farther than just heterosexual, that's Ric Flair.
Ric Flair is hyper-hetero.
Right, but he played the
flamboyance.
The flamboyancy, yeah. So that's always been a big part of all those. It was always heel characters, so I don't know what that says about it. But
well, yeah, well, like you said, if you are a minority or other sexual, you're going to be a heel.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know how to play that as a face.
Look at Muhammad Hassan.
Oh,
now, man. You talk about subtlety. Muhammad Hassan is one of the greatest examples to me of when the WWE got it right.
For a little bit, man.
Burned it. Yeah,
yeah, for a little bit there.
His original character of a Muslim American who was born in America.
Yeah.
But was now, you know, stereotyped and hated because of what happened in 9/11. That was a great gimmick. But then within, a month, now he's wearing the Muslim garb. He's he's got the terrorists coming out with him. He's doing the cut your throat thing.
Yeah,
and what was his finishing move?
That was the bad part from the beginning, was the cut your throat. But yes, the...
you remember his finishing move?
The old camel clutch.
The camel clutch.
Yep.
A.K.A. every foreigner's fucking finisher.
Yep. Anybody who's from anywhere other than Great Britain or Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's your finisher. There you go.
It's... Oh, my God.
To be fair, though, they were never fully subtle with Muhammad Hassan. Do you remember what his theme song was from day one?
I still...
It's just, I mean, from the second it started.
But it was like a guy that was proud of his heritage.
Sure. To be fair, the first time that happened, it wasn't, you know,
and
didn't send people into fits of laughter.
Great. He did a great job. But yeah, the WWE, they take something subtle and then they run with, like Fandango.
When
Fandango was getting the Fandango cheers and everybody's doing the thing, and it was organic.
But then they made it a thing.
They're like, we did it. Speaking of, you know.
Oh, God, where are you going with this?
I don't want to. I want to talk about the news before we get to Raw, but let's, you know, that's all the news. Ethan Carter probably did something. Jeff Jarrett. Needs
quickly,
money.
There's a new Undertaker shirt that seems to suggest maybe they're going to blend a little bit of the
American Badass
stuff. Yeah, it says Vengeance Unearthed on front with the Undertaker logo, but then on the back it says Dead Man Inc.
Yeah.
So that's the that's all there is to that. There's not even really much of a story. There's that, and there it is.
I won't buy it.
They've been blending it for years.
I
mean, they played it up on 411 specifically like this was a big story, but they've been blending that character for years. He went from having the full hat to the... And the trench coat, then he had, he kind of went back to the ministry a couple years ago with the huge spikes on his shoulders.
My favorite's always been Old West Taker.
Yeah.
The trench coat with the cowboy hat.
Yeah. That's WrestleMania 20 style when
he
came
out
came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
Yep. I'm with you on that.
But let's just jump to Raw.
Okay.
Let's jump to Raw.
Let's do it.
We actually had a topic we wanted to talk about at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Which
we might get there.
We might get there. We got 30 minutes.
I said it's not going to happen.
I agree with him.
Yeah.
But, so the big things from Raw, I don't remember most of the show. I know from when Zach said it was a pretty good show.
It was a great show to me. I loved it.
But there were two specific segments that I have a huge problem with.
And I think you and I do, too. Yeah.
I think
it's
going to
get bad. It's going to get bad.
Well, I think you agree with us on the first one, don't you?
Oh, the first one. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So the big one to me was Sasha Banks saying that Stephanie McMahon is the usherer of the revolution. And never have I heard a more insulting statement to the Divas division. I think this is probably the thing that has angered me the most. I've put up with a lot of crap in the Divas division.
Right.
I put up with the pillow fights. I put up with the mud matches. I put up
Trish
with the Jello.
Crawling
the gravy.
Around on her hands
the gravy.
And knees.
Trish crawling around in her underwear. You know.
Yeah.
Did it get you to the boiling point?
Oh yeah. But this. Oh man. Stephanie McMahon is taking the. We talked about Hulk Hogan taking the power away from the racial word.
Yeah,
Stephanie McMahon is taking the power away from the Divas division and making it about her.
Now here's
for
the thing.
No reason.
I've begun watching Raw on Hulu the same way Zach does since we're both cableless. You
also
do the stream, yes? But
no, what are you talking about?
I usually go down to the stream on Monday nights and do a little fishing,
and
then you watch
fishing.
Raw the
yes,
next day legally
absolutely.
On Hulu. So
caught some bluegrass.
But you
bluegrass, bluegill.
Sure, why not? You were telling me Monday at the time that it was going on that this had happened. In fact, you told me many, many times over.
I repeated it.
Yeah, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy style. And at that time, it was really, really bad, and I was really frustrated by that. I was more frustrated when I watched the show, and I saw it, but then there was more to it that you didn't mention to me. Not only does Sasha make a point to interrupt Paige, Becky, and Charlotte and say, excuse me, Stephanie McMahon began the Divas Revolution, but Paige then goes on to directly say, I'm not suggesting that she didn't. So instead of her stepping in and saying, yeah, she brought him here, and now, you know, we're taking over, let's make sure everybody understands that we're all on the same page. It's Stephanie McMahon up here. Yeah. You can't see me, but well over my head. And everybody else is down here in the doldrums.
Yeah. And for every criticism that Triple H and Stephanie got for making the show about them for years, this isn't the first time.
Right.
Remember the McMahon-Helmsley regime when it was all about them.
Could you forget?
Well, now you have this Divas Revolution that they want to push, but it's not enough that they have the Divas Revolution.
Right.
They have to have the Divas Revolution presented by Stephanie McMahon.
It's like you remember all the old pay-per-views were always presented by, like, you know,
Karate Fighters
Select or whatever.
Well, fuck that. Yeah. Like, Stephanie McMahon, she was never a good wrestler.
Nope.
Ever.
Nope.
Like, even when she was champion, she was never a good wrestler. She was attractive.
Well, she's not even really involved in NXT. It would be even better if it had been Triple H, because at least we all know from watching enough behind-the-scenes stuff
that Triple H is the man.
You know, NXT is his baby.
Yeah.
That's his thing. So if he had brought him in, at least they could, and then they were saying, oh, Triple H, you know, more or less started the Divas Revolution, I could probably be okay with that. But let's add another wrinkle into the problem here. You've still got the Authority as the heels of Raw.
Yes.
They lead the show. Seth Rollins is their boy. But then for the Diva segment, suddenly Stephanie McMahon is Savior McMahon.
She's the hero of women everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But 2 seconds later, fuck that bitch. Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand why. Well, I do understand. Let's just go right back to it like we've said a million times over. It started with the Divas when wins and losses didn't matter, and now
Heels and faces don't matter.
Heels and faces don't. Yeah, yeah.
Divas don't matter. Stephanie McMahon is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Why does she have to make this about herself? Are you so insecure in your own legacy that you have to make it about yourself? Let them stand on their own 2 feet. It's like you had all these great angles in the past.
Yeah.
And every time there's a great angle in the past, there's a fucking McMahon somewhere hiding in a corner or in the shadow. They have to be. It's not enough that they pull the strings.
Right.
You have to know that they pull the strings.
Exactly.
That
you
is not
pull the camera out to see them up above doing the puppeteering.
And it's so frustrating because you've already chopped the legs out from under these women.
And what's extra frustrating is when you're watching the show and from the time, from bell to bell, from the time the bell rings to the time the match is over, you can kind of forget about all of it for a little bit because they're all still as excellent in the ring as they were in NXT and prior to. The matches have been outstanding lately. They're no longer, you know, bathroom breaks because they're actually, a lot of times, in fact, the past couple of weeks when I've watched Raw, I think I've watched a total of 2 matches because with Hulu, I just skip through a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. But I have watched the Divas match every time. That's been one of the 2 that I actually stand and sit, or, you know, bother to sit through the entire time because it's worth it.
Yeah,
but then as soon as the bell rings again, we're right back to McMahon land.
But we're talking about it. I mean, you know, we're talking about it more now than we ever have.
That's true.
And I usually skip through everything on Hulu Plus, but I actually watched the entire show this week.
Did you really?
Yeah. Did you guys watch
the
Dean Ambrose to Big Show match?
Nope. No, because I already read the recap of it, and as I understand it was the... Are we going on? Hang on. I don't want to go too far here.
I'm going to go back.
Okay.
Because I still have other things to say.
I apologize. Well,
you're fine.
Quickly, the Dean Ambrose and Big Show thing is the perfect example of 50-50 booking. Nobody wins. It ends on a count out, but Dean Ambrose attacks him after the fact. Regardless of whether or not the match was good, I don't like the way it was booked.
Especially, he didn't attack him at the end.
Well, Big Show screwed up and looked like an idiot, though.
But
I just like
how the story was played out.
Well, that Big Show is just completely dominating Dean Ambrose.
That's my question.
Like,
what happens
up,
now?
I mean, like, it was just so good. Did you guys see the punch, though?
Yes.
That was such a good... He sold that so well.
I'm not discounting anything from the actual part of the match, but at the end of the day, you stop back and look at it after the fact and go, what happened?
What was the point?
What happens now?
I understand that. I thought the match was good, though.
Well, that's the problem with WWE is that they have good matches, but if you don't have the show behind the talent, it's kind of pointless. You can have a 5-star match that means nothing.
Right.
Or you can have a 1-star match that changes everything.
Yeah.
The point is to find a balance between them.
Yeah. Even when he was at his height, you know, you wouldn't have wanted, and again, I know the jokes are coming regardless, but long before anything happened with Chris Benoit, you wouldn't have wanted a show full of Chris Benoit's.
I'm not touching that.
It would have been boring. I mean, I'm sorry. It would have been. The matches would have been great.
Well, he's untouchable
but again, there's
now.
Very little in the way of story. The most entertaining, I don't know about you guys, but the most entertaining to me that Chris Benoit ever was in the way of a storyline outside of the Triple H and Shawn Michaels stuff was the cup of coffee thing with Orlando Jordan. I thought that was a lot of fun. But at the same time, it made Orlando Jordan look like total shit. Nobody remembers this?
No.
Okay. It was just prior to when he moved on to ECW, or he was going to move on to ECW, and then, of course, all the tragic stuff took place. But prior to that, when he was U.S. champ for a while on SmackDown, he had a running feud with Orlando Jordan, and he beat him, and I think it was like 23 seconds or something in one particular match. He
sounds
just got
about right.
Quick. Yeah. So they played it up. Orlando Jordan kept talking about, because they were playing him up as a major athlete. This was long before all the TNA stuff.
And I liked Orlando Jordan.
Yeah.
And might I add, this is two Orlando Jordan stories in one show.
Which is just utterly bizarre.
Insane in 2015.
Benoit was doing these promos where they would catch up with him backstage, you know, well, how are you going to approach this match with Orlando Jordan? And he would literally get a cup of coffee, and they would show the previous match and time it, and it would take longer for him to drink the cup of coffee. And that was the point of the promo. It was hilarious. But it was because Benoit didn't have the talk, so.
It was subtle.
Yeah. It was another moment of subtlety that could only
subtle
have lasted for a moment.
Versus people giving birth to hands.
I always wanted to believe that that was subtle. I always thought that there was going to be some sort of payoff. And then, there was like a giant dude in a big
giant
hand
with Layla.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, at least we've come full circle.
Let's go back to the Divas for a
second.
Let's
go back there.
Because the biggest problem that I have with this, if you take away all of the backstage bullshit that we discuss because we're smarks and we're internet people, the biggest problem with it from a storyline standpoint is that Sasha Banks, the boss, it's all about me.
Yep.
Would say, no, it's all about Stephanie.
Right.
That is out of character. That's out of fucking character. That makes no sense from a character standpoint.
And I briefly mentioned it on the Hogan Show, the last one that we did, but the fact that she doesn't come out with the NXT Women's Championship has been bothering me in a I-can't-figure-out-why way for a long time, and now I'm beginning to think it's because Stephanie is really in charge of this division at this point, and she doesn't want anybody usurping her beautiful Butterfly Divas title. She doesn't want anything to look
that
like
it's
more
important
than
that. Fucking title, too.
It's horrible.
It looks like something Jeff Hardy
hopefully
made.
We might get back to later if we have time.
Looks like something a five-year-old carry around.
It's terrible. When they first introduced
Jeff Hardy.
When they first introduced it, I remember seeing people saying, oh, that's great. You know, it's a little fresh and, you know,
well,
designed
for pretty.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We all kind of thought it was a vanity title that wasn't going to last very long.
Yeah.
And then when the women's title got folded into that, that was a pretty dark day for the old Divas division.
Yeah. And now you got the NXT women's title, which is the definitive women's title in wrestling right now.
And it looks great.
Yeah.
So Kevin Owens is coming out with the NXT championship for weeks on Raw. Probably actually a couple of months, I guess.
Made the U.S. title look weak compared to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Sasha can't show up with the NXT. That would have been a perfect way, too, to further elevate that. Because, you know, Stephanie brings out... They've got me now. Stephanie brings out Charlotte and Becky to team with Paige. But then when Sasha comes out to team with Naomi and Tamina, it just kind of seemed like an afterthought. Oh, and Sasha Banks is here too. But had she come out with the NXT Women's Champion, if anything, if they really had to go forward with Stephanie being the one to take charge of the division, it would have at least been nice for Sasha to come out on her own and say, I don't give a shit what you want to do. I'm here. These two are going to back me up.
Yeah.
Now at least they look like equal teams. Until Sasha beat Paige on Raw, I didn't feel like they were the third string.
They were, yeah. They were the
team.
Yeah. And Sasha Banks is the champion.
And she's the champion. NXT Women's Champion.
Know, bringing them out and introducing them the way that Stephanie McMahon has, it reminds me, do you remember when Matt Hardy first came back after the Edge and Lita incident? And he attacked Edge.
Yeah.
And it was this great, oh my God, Matt Hardy's awesome, he's coming back. And how did they introduce him? Vince McMahon came out and said, you all wanted him. I decided to bring him back. Here's Matt Hardy. Buried Matt Hardy from the fucking beginning.
And then the horrible booking decisions, which is a whole other thing.
It's coming for the Divas division.
But it all starts with the McMahon.
It starts and ends with the McMahons. And speaking of poor booking decisions.
Oh, you're not going to talk about the Rusev thing?
The Rusev.
Oh, yeah, we were going to talk about it.
That was just a funny ass
segment.
They
threw a fish.
He's
there
like,
was a fish.
I've heard that was the funniest segment on the show.
Yeah. Oh, it was? I just like how Rusev sold everything. It's a dog. And he's like, here you go. It's a fish.
And that's great. I mean, from what I'm saying, that's really funny.
It's so funny.
But remember when Rusev was the ass-kicking Bulgarian that would just plow through anyone that got in his way?
Uh-huh. He plows running.
Now he's a teen comedy.
You cut me off when I'm trying to make my pun.
I'm sorry. What was the pun?
Nothing when he plowed through everybody.
Oh, God damn it. Well, obviously, he couldn't plow Lana well enough and put that bitch in her place.
Whoa.
No, fuck it.
That was a headless fish.
Yeah.
It was so funny. I just like how he sold everything.
Yeah, well, they're selling him up the river. That's the problem.
Yeah. Here was my problem with that segment. Okay, first of all, I know exactly where you're going. Yes, it's not. It's a comedy angle.
He's a comedy
with a guy
now.
Who shouldn't have been a comedy
no,
act.
No, he should not be ever. Fucking Santino Marella.
But part two of that, too, is I go back again to this Dean Ambrose Big Show thing. What did any of it accomplish? What do you know any more about or think any more about the whole situation with Rusev and Lana, just the two of them, after this past Monday than you did the Monday before?
I think they're trying to make it to where you don't notice Dolph Ziggler for a little while.
Exactly. That's
a slow burn.
But here's the thing. Does anybody not notice? Everybody knows Dolph Ziggler is out. Everybody's waiting for somebody to come out and help Lana. I mean, not that they're ever going to do this, and not that I really want to see it either, but the Rusev of old, Shannon, I think you would agree with me, would have slapped Lana right into the fucking accolade in about 5 seconds.
He'd have made her humble.
Yeah.
He'd have humbled her.
And instead, we get him just accolade? Yelling no.
What is the accolade?
I'm reasonably sure it is a clutch of the camel persuasion.
And he's not from America.
No.
Okay.
No.
Are the UK or Japan?
Yeah.
Can you only think of one American that's ever used the camel clutch as a finisher?
Give me a minute.
Steiner.
Scott Steiner.
The Steiner recliner.
What's Scott Steiner doing in the Impact Zone? Oh, jeez.
Oh, but back to bed.
Yeah, the old recliner.
I think we're going to have a huge disagreement here coming up.
Well, take nothing away from the match. We're talking about the main event, John Cena versus Seth Rollins. Main
yes,
event. Zach and I have talked about this, and we disagreed last night, and I was like, okay, we're going to argue on the show then.
Oh, man.
But I think you're on my side on this one.
Probably.
So Seth Rollins is your world champion.
Yes.
And what have we said since the inception of fucking Pro Wrestling Unscripted is that the only way WWE can book their champions when they're heel is as a chicken shit. Can't win, has to cheat every single time.
Unless your name is Brock Lesnar.
Which they turned face
right.
because of.
And now he can't win a match.
Yeah.
Well, he can, but...
by bullshit reasons.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Seth Rollins, your world champion, who has been getting his ass beat for months now,
mm-hmm.
and on the last pay-per-view got beat so bad, it took an undead wizard to save his title.
Yep.
You know? So what happens on Raw? Now you have a chance to put him against John Cena, who I've defended the past few weeks as, well, no. I know it's bad, but come on, guys. The booking.
come on, y'all.
It makes sense, this and that. And me and Asa, poor Asa, we got in an argument over it. Well, now I've flipped. I flipped like that fucking fish in the Rusev segment.
He did flip. It was dead. It was headless.
It probably landed on the other side than it was in the box. So
yeah,
I'll give you that at least that much.
I'm reaching.
He hurled it up the ramp. So.
But now I have to agree. What is the point of having John Cena beat Seth Rollins clean?
Well, and here's my question to start the whole situation. Go back a week before, John Cena post-pay-per-view comes out and makes Rollins look like an absolute bitch.
Yeah.
Rollins backs away from him, which is fair enough.
He backs
Rollins
away from everybody.
Sure, and not to mention he's been in the ring with John Cena before. He knows what he's getting himself into, and he doesn't have his backup, so he backs away. The next week, not only does John Cena come out and make him look like a bitch on the mic again, but he still beats him in the main event, still beats him with a broken nose, which, to be fair, wasn't planned. But it's not like wrestling doesn't call audibles from time to time.
Yeah. But you got to give John Cena all the credit in the world.
Oh, that was amazing.
We go back to the same situation from most of the show. For the match itself, the match was fantastic. And, like you said, giving Cena all the credit for finishing a match with a broken... I mean, the dude's
nose was
farther right than Donald Trump.
I thought Seth Rollins broke his nose, too.
What's
when he did that red arrow, whatever that move was.
The Phoenix Splash?
Face planted the mat.
Yeah.
Like, no hand. I thought he broke his face.
Yeah. Too. Well, he's been doing that move for about 10 years on the
indies.
But
still,
so
it looked like
he
Samoa Joe's been doing the muscle buster for years.
That's true.
First time he does it in WWE,
that was Tyson Kidd's fault. He didn't land right.
All right. You want to hear my reasoning on why I thought it was good?
Hold on.
All right. You go
ahead. The enthusiasm is palpable in the room here.
I don't think, like, what do you mean by good? The match or the decision?
The decision.
Okay. Yes. That I want to hear.
Okay.
Because the match was good.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, we're not
debating
that.
They put on a great match. Yeah, they're talented guys. But I have a problem with the logic of having your world champion, who can't win a match normally, to lose to John Cena,
clean
who doesn't need
sheet.
The victory. So please, Zach.
All right, well, here we go. It's a long one. Okay.
And we agreed not to get too violent with each other.
Well, I don't think we want to. Okay, so 2 weeks ago at the Battleground pay-per-view,
yes,
he got destroyed, right? And then they brought an Undertaker. So the next week on Raw... he just backs away, doesn't have a match or anything. So they kind of make you not see that he had lost by the fact that they went 2 weeks before he had a match. Okay?
Okay.
So they put all their money right now on Lesnar and Taker, so you kind of forget a little bit about Rollins. So yeah. Now Rollins gets the match. You know, he comes out and they say, you're not worthy of a World Heavyweight title match, but we can put that U.S. title up, right? So now, Cena wins clean. I agree with that. Because if Rollins would have won, Cena would have came at him and was like, I want my title match. He's like, you're not good enough for this world title, but you can go for this title. You can go for this one. You know, it kind of makes the U.S. title not look as important. So I like that Cena won clean because now he's like, I got my opportunity. Give me my opportunity. I beat you clean. I beat you fair and square. Just like I said you wouldn't. Just like I said you couldn't do it.
Here's what's interesting. I agree with a lot of what you're saying if it was anybody but John Cena. And that's not just a personal preference thing. That's not just me not liking John Cena.
I've been thinking about that too, but who else are they going to pull up?
Well, not only that, but Zach didn't mention this, but as he's talking, I'm realizing this, that from a storyline standpoint, it makes absolute sense that John Cena would beat Seth Rollins clean. Just because we want to see Seth Rollins win because we know the world title is important, the way the WWE has written the story of Seth Rollins is that put in a match, he will lose. Frustrates us, but from a storyline standpoint, of course he's going to lose.
Right, but
and he will win the feud.
Oh, of course.
Thanks to insert name here.
Right.
J&J Security. Probably not Kane is what happened. Well, actually, fuck it. Kane will probably come back and help him.
Disagree.
You don't think he's going to win the feud? Mm-mm. You think John Cena's going to take the title?
Yes.
I don't think they would ever be dumb enough to make John Cena both United States and world champion at the same time.
Do you see the Divas Revolution?
Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. going back to what I was getting at in general, and yeah, I agree with both of you guys for the most part. I like the idea, and I liked the idea in the first place. ECW did this really well when Rob Van Dam was the TV champion for well over a year and was going head-to-head with, I forget who was the world champion. Was it Taz at the time? Somebody else.
Probably.
But yeah. they were doing their best to elevate the TV title to the point that when RVD came head-to-head with the world champion, he could say, I've had this thing for a year. I think it's a little more important than whatever you're doing. I don't care what they call the title. I've been defending it regularly for a year. So if John Cena had maybe gone a little longer with that, that would have worked too. But my problem just goes back again to it's not the fact that the champion is going to hit it. It's that it's John Cena again. It's John Cena constantly getting another bit of elevation. This would have been a great time had the title been moved on to Kevin fucking Owens.
Owens came out and said,
it doesn't matter what title I'm holding. I'm better than you. That's what's important here.
Yeah.
Of course, they're never going to do that because you got two heels against each other.
But from a storyline standpoint, it makes sense for Cena. And that's WWE's poor writing fault, you know? We can criticize it, but Cena is their guy and forever and always will be.
And see, I agree with both of you. I kind of wish it wasn't Cena, but then I see why it's Cena. But when you also look at the roster, who else would they have put in that place?
Well, they can't do Ambrose
because they didn't change the titles with Kevin Owens. Cesaro didn't get his big push with Cena like we all thought he kind of would have, you know, getting the U.S. title. So it's kind of like, who else are they going to put up there against Rollins?
Really, the only person that's a face and is popular enough to do it is either Roman Reigns, but this would have been a great time for Roman Reigns to come in and go, you know what? But he can't because he's with the Wyatts.
Yeah,
he's embroiled with all that.
Ziggler would have been good, but Ziggler.
He's out.
But there's no NXT wrestler either they want to pull up soon.
The only thing they could really do is push someone new. That's what the fans always say.
Right.
Push someone new. Give us a reason to care about someone new. John Cena will be fine regardless. Mm-hmm. He's like Hulk Hogan.
God damn it.
Hulk Hogan didn't need to hold titles. He thought he did, so he, of course, manipulated it to where he did.
Right.
But Hogan doesn't need a title. Undertaker doesn't need a title.
Nope.
Brock Lesnar doesn't need a title.
Right.
John Cena doesn't need a title.
No.
There are some talents that need the titles. Seth Rollins needs that world title.
Right.
But you're booking him horribly.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. On the one hand, I like the idea that the U.S. champion, because again, I don't like the idea that John Cena just went rolling over the world champion on a random match on Raw.
Monday show.
Yeah.
This is a match that would have been a main event on a pay-per-view.
And will be in the future. But what I was going to say was I really like the idea that the U.S. champ beats the world heavyweight champion in a better booked situation where your world champion doesn't look like a total piece of crap already. Because Rollins, let's be honest, Rollins can't win a match to save his life.
He's
at this
dead
point unless somebody else is doing it.
Yeah. Like if there was a bunch of interferes, but the champ still got over on
right. And gotcha. Yeah, that's a different situation. I mean, I'm trying to pick somebody out there. Let's just say that Neville was a United States champion. If Neville went over a Seth Rollins who had successfully defended the titles a couple times he did against Dean Ambrose.
Huge.
Yeah, he was actually looking like he could handle some stuff on his own. If that had happened at that time, that's how you elevate that title.
Like Shelton Benjamin.
Well, let me.
That's a good example.
Let me take you back to, I swear to God, I don't mean to keep bringing this gentleman up. But think about
we're going to start muting your fucking
mind. No, think about this. Think about what is one of the biggest main events of all time at WrestleMania?
Three.
Was Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior. IC title versus world title.
Yeah.
You had Hulk Hogan as the dominating champion, mm-hmm. who was, at the time, I mean, say what you want about him, but he was, storyline-wise.
He was the guy.
He was the guy. Ultimate Warrior. Wasn't quite the guy yet. Mm-hmm. Won the IC title and was very popular. When you have a guy who's hungry versus a guy who's established and dominates, then if that guy wins, he comes out looking like $1 billion, mm-hmm. which is what the Ultimate Warrior did. He beat Hogan, right. and he was the man. If you have John Cena, who's already the man, fighting Seth Rollins, who's a fucking bitch,
yep.
when John Cena beats the bitch, nothing changes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would have taken something away from this had the story been the United States champion just beat the world champion in a non-title match. But the story wasn't that. The story was John Cena beat Seth Rollins again.
With a broken nose this
time. Let me throw an idea out there at you, though.
Go for it.
What if, like, during the match, there was supposed to be somebody comes out there and helps Seth Rollins win? But when John Cena got the broken nose, somebody told the ref, because he got that earpiece, he's like, call an audible, make John Cena win, the next week we'll put on the show. John Cena still beat you with a broken nose. Instead of calling on, that could be an audible they could have called.
I am curious to see where they take this, because John Cena did beat Seth Rollins with a broken nose.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like, oh, broken nose. Like,
it
there was
pretty vicious.
It was like the guy from the Goonies.
And he was still taking face bumps. That was the killer part. Rollins was still throwing kicks to the side of his head.
Did you see the initial, like, when they first went to John Cena in the corner?
Yeah, and,
like,
and he the, just the dripping
camera,
straight out
the
of
camera
his
ran away. He's like, oh, somebody turned a faucet on him.
Yep. Yeah, it was pretty bad. And then they bring in the doctor, of course, as soon as there was a double down spot so that they could actually do something with
him. Game of Z-Pack.
And we were I was wondering this on the way over. You saw when John Cena first got up after getting his nose busted.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, like, mad. Was that part of his gimmick? Nah. Or was he like, because, you know, sometimes you get hit in the nose.
Yeah.
You can't help it.
I'm reasonably sure that Rollins knew that kind of thing was coming. I'm positive to some degree that they probably have a contingency plan in place. Hey, if something gets broken, because you saw what Rollins did and the ref did. They had a whole series of spots where as Cena was down in the corner, the ref was trying to check on him. Rollins kept telling him to get up and get out of the way. So as soon as Cena launched himself at him, they had a moment there where they were close enough where Cena could probably go, because I'm sure he's
my
the
nose
general
is broken.
At this point. My nose is broken. Be cool. You know?
But I'm pretty sure John Cena probably got a couple stiff
shots.
Stiff shots.
What, did like, you ever see the Perry Saturn match where he takes an arm drag from some random wrestler he was just squashing. He takes an arm drag from him and lands wrong because the guy did it a little funny.
Yeah.
Saturn gets up and just I've heard interviews. He said he blacked out. He just goes fucking crazy.
Yikes.
He beats the shit out of this guy.
Daniel Bryan did that in an indie show too.
Well, here's the situation where maybe I'm wrong on this, but I would it's weird. I'll give John Cena the benefit of the doubt. I think the guy is professional enough and has been doing this long enough.
Yeah.
I doubt that he's potatoing the guy just because he broke it. I mean, don't get me wrong. He broke it, and he broke it pretty viciously.
With a
and
fucking
like you said,
knee
he
lift.
May have to, yeah,
oh.
yeah. It was. And
they showed that in like extra slow motion
man, every nasty. Time. Yeah.
But I was telling him on the way over, I was listening to a podcast with Chris Jericho's with Big Show on it, and they were talking about the Floyd Money Mayweather spot where he broke mm-hmm. his nose. He told Money Mayweather, I want you to break my nose because it's the only way to look cool.
Yeah.
But he's like, the second you get done hitting me, run out of the ring.
Yeah.
Because he's like, literally, I will. You don't know. And he tells it later on. He's like, I actually grabbed one of the bodyguards and was getting ready to lay him out. And he's like, it's not me. It's not me. They didn't get him calmed down until I got him in the back. And like, it looked really cool. And they had to calm him down. He's like, okay,
man,
it's good. But
yeah, calm the angry giant.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is, you know, even with him having the opportunity, and let's be honest, had Cena just beat the shit out of him, nobody would have called him out on it. Nobody would have said anything.
Not for breaking the guy's nose.
Because he's John fucking Cena. But I really will. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he did. He may have thrown some punches that maybe accidentally because he just couldn't see very well or he was dealing with the pain. But I don't know. I mean, I've watched it a couple of times. I don't think he...
And you're right. He wouldn't get in trouble. John Cena would have to walk out wearing a Hulk Hogan shirt with a Klan hood on. And shooting dope in one arm and steroids in the other for anyone to go, you know what?
We
might need to suspend him.
We might need to do something with that.
Well, let's suspend this show.
Let's do that.
Because I got to get to work.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
It's almost 1 o'clock.
Yes,
we've almost gone an hour. We didn't get to talk about the topic.
That's okay. We never mentioned it, so we'll just have a really cryptic, weird topic.
Don't say it.
Why don't we announce it for the next show?
Oh, okay. Well, we can do that.
Who the fuck knows if we'll be able to do it?
Wait a minute. Are we not? When the hell is SummerSlam? We got to be previewing this thing soon,
oh,
right?
By the way, SummerSlam's 4 hours this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I think SummerSlam's at least a couple weeks away, so.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be
next week.
4 hours, so I guess we'll have a couple Divas matches, and hopefully Stephanie will provide us with
I think it's August 17th.
Good, hopefully the Savior will provide us.
Some good content.
Will provide us. Next week, if we get the time, we're going to talk about the importance of world titles, or of wrestling titles.
Yeah.
The people that hold them, what does it mean to them? What's our favorites, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
and
some
then
personal
we'll,
preferences on designs and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And then we'll cover the news as we always do, and we'll bitch more about Raw.
Can we get Mahoney on the show?
Yeah. No.
Bring his belt
hey,
in.
Hey, if there's anyone that is synonymous with belts, it's Dave Mahoney. All right. Well, Hunter, Zach, thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you on the next show. Have a great weekend.
Hulk Hogan.